Hello, welcome to Extemp Talk Report. I'm your host, Braverman Sadler, and today is April 16th, 2020. Today, we'll be addressing three of today's most primary issues. First is the arresting of pastors. Second is that prisoners are being released all over the country. And third is the loss of people's privacy. And now, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Those who trade liberty for security have neither. John Adams. As the coronavirus panic continues to spread throughout not only the country, but throughout the world, it seems that we are giving up more and more of our civil liberties in the name of security from the coronavirus. Today, I, Braverman Sadler, bring you the latest news from the coronavirus pandemic in three subjects. First is the story of a pastor in Hillsborough County, Florida, being arrested. Second is how prisoners are being released on your streets. And third is how the government will soon come for you. Now, let's go over our first subject, pastors being arrested. Now, according to Fox News, on March 30th, late last month, a megachurch pastor named Rodney Howard Brown was arrested for charges, according to Fox News, of unlawful assembly and violation of public health. So in other words, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, the main law enforcement division in the Hillsborough County, came out and arrested a pastor for holding a church service. However, there has been some more complications. Because first of all, I just got to point out is that under the First Amendment of the Constitution, American citizens have the right to practice freedom of religion, in this case, in Christianity. Many churches believe that it is to practice the Christian faith, it is proper to hold church services. That is protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution. So, first of all, so it's unlawful for this pastor to be charged with for practicing the Christian religion, but also, remember that one of these churches is unlawful assembly. So, last time I checked, in Florida, or specifically in some of the districts, the people are not allowed to group in crowds larger than 10 people. And as this pastor is the pastor of a megachurch, that kind of went to the side. However, unlawful assembly, so now it's a crime for me and you and bring over some buddies to come to my house and have a couple drinks. That is now illegal? It is illegal now to have assembly. Remember, the Constitution, the First Amendment, also states that Americans have the right to peacefully assemble. So in other words, like, this is a bogus charge. Not only is this pastor simply practicing his religion, he's exercising his First Amendment right to have to be in assembly with his fellow Christians, to peacefully assemble. And it was the Hillsborough County District coming in and saying screw that to the Constitution. And if that's not even worse, the governor of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, according to Breitbart on April 2nd, 2020, came out and said that churches are deemed an essential service. So in other words, so essential services being stores such as Walmart, another place that are supposed to remain open for the public to still have essential goods such as food, water, and clothing. But Ron DeSantis also said that churches fall under the essential services list. So, and may I also remind you is that the reason why this pastor was arrested is because he was deemed of having an unessential service, how that church was unessential to the public good. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis came back and said, It's okay, people. You can have church services. They are deemed essential services. You can have them. But yet, as according to Chris Anhol earlier this week, the county of Hillsborough is still charging the pastor with threats or with unlawful assembly and violating public health for practicing a non-essential church service. Folks, remember, our country, what are we supposed to stand for? Everybody believes that every person in America, or at least most people, believe that you have the right to practice your religion, to be in fellowship with your other people. That's going all out the window. Now onto our second subject of prisoners being released. So, as I'm sure has been circulating, is that many states have started to open the floodgates of their prisons, releasing thousands of prisoners. In fact, let's just name a couple of these circumstances. So, according to ABC News earlier this month, there have been multiple waves of judges, of state and local judges, releasing thousands of inmates in 16 states. In other words, thousands of convicted prisoners have been released. Let's give some specifics. For example, in LA, 4,300 inmates were released because the LA Sheriff's Department worried that its inmates, that its prisoners would be affected because of the coronavirus. This also happened in New York City. However, in New York City, three prisoners were alleged felons that were found on the list of people who were supposed to be released. So let's just kind of get this straight. So, and these are not all nonviolent criminals, as New York teaches us. Yeah, there's the occasional rapist, armed burglar, murderer, serial killer who's being released into the public. Essentially, your government is releasing some of society's worst people into your streets. And in fact, as ABC News reported on April 13th, 2013, is that 40% of prisoners who are released land back in jail. So let's look at LA. 4,300 people were released. If ABC News turns out to be true, at least 400 of those prisoners will land back up in jails. But the question here is that why are we releasing our society's worst people out into the public? There's been reports of rapists, murderers, burglars who are committing crimes. What states like California are doing, California, New York, the idea of this is for people to stay safe. How is releasing criminals, felons who committed murder, how is that supposed to protect your citizenry? Because remember, is that when you commit a crime, you pretty much give up your rights. When you're a criminal, you don't get the right to freedom of speech. You don't get the right to freedom of travel. You don't get the right to freedom of press. You don't get the right to peacefully sunlight. That just comes with being a prisoner. You violated the law and you gave up your rights. Why are we putting our own people at risk? Because of this. Remember, 40% of these criminals are going to end up committing crimes. What is going on here? I mean, where is the logic behind this? Now, on to our third point of how surveillance systems are being widely used to protect against this virus. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal earlier today, a couple countries have already started to institute this. So let me give you a couple examples of how surveillance systems are being used throughout the world. For example, in South Korea, the South Korean federal government has recently began to track infected people or people who have been infected with the coronavirus with phones. So in other words, if you go to South Korea, if you're a South Korean citizen, you're going to have a little app installed on your phone, which is going to tell the government where you've been, have you been infected, and pretty much allow you to monitor and allow the government to monitor you. If this is not enough, West Australia recently a province in Western Australia recently decided to pass a bill that would allow the provincial government to put surveillance systems in people's homes. So if you're an Australian, you might soon have a couple cameras in your house. Of course, probably paid for by the government. And don't worry, they're only going to be used to see if you have the COVID-19 virus. If this is not enough, this is happening in the United States. For example, the city of Kansas recently admitted to using third-party GPS trackers to see if Kansas citizens are staying at home. So if you're a Kansas citizen, the Kansas state government might have been looking about where you are, making sure that you're still in your house. In fact, the federal government is tracking crowds of people. In other words, the federal government is trying to track mass gatherings of U.S. citizens. Of course, the CIA is not supposed to spy on specific people. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that governments all around the world and in the United States on both the state and federal level are spying on their citizens. Now, maybe South Koreans and Australians are fine with that, but I'm an American. If I'm right, if I read the Constitution, I have rights. I have a right to trial, to right to public and speedy trial. I have a right to have a right against unreasonable searches and seizures of my property and of myself. So in other words, if you're going to come and search my body, search my house, search my property, you better have a warrant with just cause. What's happening now is the federal government's just throwing that all out the window, saying that, no, we're going to spy on individual American citizens. And so is the state of Kansas, who's using GPS trackers, his assistant. And in case some people believe that, okay, Bray, you're overreacting over this. I mean, explain to me why this is such a danger. I mean, we've been living with this since 9/11. I mean, the government's not going to come after me. So, I mean, you do got a point. Honestly, I have not been alive before 9/11, so I have no idea. But let's look at some countries that have employed mass surveillance systems. Let's look, for example, at, I don't know, China, which literally has a social credit system that tracks what level citizens are loyal to the Chinese government. China also has a large camera network that spies on Chinese citizens. In Tibet, many Tibetans, a region in southwestern China, have to get an app installed on their phone and for the Chinese government able to track Tibetans. I mean, think about the Soviet Union, mass surveillance state. Sure, they did not have the same advanced technology as we do now, but they still were a mass surveillance state. What did they do with it? They cracked down on religious freedom, on freedom of speech. In China, they're cracking down on anybody who so much as seems not to be loyal to the Chinese government. I mean, whenever this technology has been used by government, whether it's China, the Soviet Union, Cuba, Vietnam, Cambodia, the Eastern Bloc during the Cold War, Nazi Germany. These are the kind of countries that have employed mass surveillance systems. And when you give the government the ability to track where its citizens are, it never gives it up. I mean, seriously. Look at the Soviet Union Constitution, where people supposedly had the right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to have a job. Believe it or not, the Soviet Union, in its constitution, did have a Bill of Rights that included things such as freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, but the Soviet Union, they have a horrible human rights record. Let's look at Iran, which employs surveillance systems to spy on its citizens. In every country where mass surveillance systems is placed, no good comes of it. It is always harmful. So the government, in pretty much every government where this has been tried, or in many governments, where Big Brother security systems have been used, it has never ended well. So today, we must see three of today's greatest news issues. First is the arresting of pastors. Second is seeing how violent convicts are being released onto our streets. And third is seeing how Big Brother is once again spying on the American people. So once again, we sacrificed our security for freedom of religion. We've sacrificed our freedom for security of prisoners who are just going to make our roads more dangerous. And we have sacrificed our freedom in order for the federal government to uproot people who have the coronavirus. Like John Adams said, when we give our freedom up for our security, we have neither. Because I can assure you this. We have lessened our right to freedom of religion. We have lessened our right to be safe in our homes. And we have lessened our right to be safe and secure, knowing that we at least have some control over our private lives. Meaning that we have neither safety nor freedom. Thank you. Well, folks, it's the end of the show for today. If you liked it, click the like button and leave a good review. Now, as a small note, some friends of mine are creating a new podcast over on Spotify and YouTube called The Gradient Podcast. They're great. Go listen to them. Without further ado, we'll see you tomorrow for another episode of Extemp Talk.